But I can tell you that there would be, statewide, certainly hundreds, thousands of very serious criminals that are still running the streets if it had not been for the license plate readers. I was elected in Escambia County, residents of Escambia County, to do what I can to make them safer. And again, this is the most valuable tool that I'm aware of, more valuable than fingerprints, more valuable than, to me, than DNA. If you gave me the option of having one of those three, I would take the license plate readers every day.
So we talked with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons about the Flock license plate readers on Tuesday. Talked with Sheriff Bob Johnson on Monday. We've been talking about this a lot this week, as you know if you listen to the show for any period of time, and I will get into it in just a second. Before we get Chief Winstrom on the phone, I do want to make a note. I had been told by a couple of different people that the Victor Steen did have a firearm on him, and they maintain that is true. I was trying to do some research on this because somebody texted me and said that is not true. He did not. I don't know the fact of it. It long predates me being in the city. Either way, I don't know the fact, and I just want to make sure that I say that, you know, somebody said, hey, you know, he didn't. And, okay, that may be true as well. I apologize if I got that fact wrong. Like I said, several people have told me that he did. And in any case, Chief Eric Winstrom joins us now. We're going to talk about license plate readers, among other things. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. So I know you know you and I talked a little bit off the air about this, but, you know, my view on the license plate readers has shifted a little bit over the last couple of weeks, because in the beginning I was very much on the side of, hey, look, you have no reasonable expectation of privacy in public. It is just a cop with enhancements, basically. A cop could stand on the corner and do what an LPR can do. And, you know, I'm driving along. It's a privilege, not a right, to drive a car on a public roadway. And it's an extremely effective law enforcement tool, which you have also said. And, of course, Chip Simmons says the same thing, and so does Sheriff Bob Johnson. That's why we all use them here in this area. More recently, I have, you know, in listening to all the socialist protests and also listening, you know, to my own thoughts about this matter, I think a lot of their arguments are very disingenuous or misinformed and poor and exaggerated. And I could do a whole logic class on the fallacies they engage in. But I have always been one concerned about government expansion and authoritarian government and suppression of civil rights and what happens if a good tool is put in the hands of a bad person. And that's what concerns me about these, is not Eric Winstrom, not Bob Johnson, not Chip Simmons, but X person who gets elected and starts to do the wrong stuff with a tool I trusted the good people with. That's where I'm at. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely right. Man, so much to unpack here. But
absolutely.
So you mentioned the socialist argument, and you mentioned your argument and how you're listening to them. And that's interesting, because there is this whole group of very insincere socialists who around the country have made this one of their talking points. And it goes along with their literal stated positions on their – you can go on their website and look it up, abolish police, abolish prisons. It says right on there, literally, support Iran, Cuba, and Venezuela. That's not a mistake. That's because those are socialist regimes. And you think of those, Iran, you can walk down the street in Iran, if you're a woman without a hijab, their AI video technology will have an agent over to arrest you. Cuba monitors your internet at all times. You can't Google anything without them knowing. You talk about another big socialist thing is demilitarizing the police, as if we're patrolling the street in an armored vehicle. If you need an armored vehicle, as we've seen recently, you really need one. But yeah, we don't patrol with them. But look at Venezuela, another one of their favorite places. They're literally using armored vehicles to run over protesters. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it from that standpoint, there's all these insincere arguments because they're trying to, you know, tear down the system, et cetera. But they bring up, in your mind and in my mind, another thing. The real fight, I think, is what about empowering a future evil government that could misuse this? And, you know, think about just, I think you and I are about the same generation. I graduated high school in 93. My father graduated high school in 1959. He had a German exchange student in 1959 at his house who complained that he got a speeding ticket via a video camera. Germany's had this since 1956. It just seems very un-American.
Right.
And it's a culture that you and I as Americans are like, God, this doesn't feel right. I'll say one other thing. When I got first promoted in Chicago to sergeant, one of the trainings they did, they sent us to the Holocaust Museum in Chicago, and which didn't make sense to me at the time, but the whole training for the whole day was, hey, you're a police supervisor now. We want to tell you for 8 hours, we want to tell you the story of how the German police back pre-Nazi Germany was an effective police department, regarded with integrity. And over the years, This is how they were turned into a tool by Nazi Germany to enforce the Holocaust, to round up Jews and murder people. And we never want that to happen in America. So as a police officer, you have that responsibility, that higher level of responsibility. So I see these as legitimate fears. Agreed, 100%, it's super effective. 100%, the guardrails are in place. The accountability's in place. Sheriff Simmons, Sheriff Johnson, Chief Winter, we're never going to let anything happen, certainly without accountability of our officers as far as the FLOC system. But those worries are in place. I will say, I think the fight, because we run a very victim-centered approach. It's such an effective tool. If you're the victim of a crime, if you have a loved one that's kidnapped, that's being trafficked, even if it's a property, but your house is burglarized, whatever, this tool is amazing. It's a very effective approach to support victims of crime. And on balance, taking all that into consideration with some very reasonable concerns that you have, I just don't think the fight is with FLOC. I think the fight is with the system of government they have, and making sure that we continue to be a free country, that we continue to hold ourselves to that American standard, not the Venezuelan standard, which, right, you know, the loudest voices are trying to get us there. So there's a little irony there. I understand your point of view. I completely understand it. But I think, you know, we could strip away all our FLOC cameras tomorrow, enact a socialist system of government, fast forward a year, and we will be in a socialist state with, you know, 10 times as many surveillances.
And by the way, this is one of the tensions that has flummoxed me just a little bit, is the socialists who clearly want, you know, they clearly believe in an end state that involves over-intensive use of police, because every place that's ever been tried, absolutely, that's what you get eventually. So why would they be arguing for a reduction in police power or reduction in police technology when that's their end game? And I know the answer. I mean, you know, I've studied philosophy and political science. I know the answer. The answer is they want more crime right now so that they can have the kind of social upheaval and chaos that having more crime will create and foster, and people will be demanding for exactly their kind of police state solution. You make the crisis worse so that you can get the solution to the crisis that benefits you politically. I know that. That's why, even though I'm listening to their arguments, I know they want me. They want me to listen to their arguments and be persuaded. And at the same time, though, I find their arguments generally to be very disingenuous and illogical, and great examples. I could do a whole tutorial on illogical fallacies from what they say. There is still, like you just were talking about, that the American part of me that I don't love the cameras, and I don't love that you have that Google can track you. I don't love the geofence location data. I certainly don't like the facial recognition stuff. You know, I see how London is the most camera-heavy, city in the world, and it horrifies me, and I see what the Chinese are doing. And, you know, I've seen all the movies. I was raised in Gen X on all the movies, which were good, and I've read all the books, the Vonnegut and the Huxley, and I've read, you know, Orwell, and all. I'm very, very, very familiar with all of this stuff. And that's exactly what I think Americans should be, is terrified of the end outcome. Just like, you know, we accept having a lot of guns means there's going to be gun violence. Having a lot of guns is how you make sure we're never a totalitarian state. Having fewer cameras is a problem. There will be more crime. But having fewer cameras is how we make sure that we never have a police state that misuses those cameras.
Yeah. Well, and philosophically, I'm right there with you. And, you know, as a police officer with a victim-centered approach, I just look at this on balance. I mean, look at speed cam. I lived in Illinois for too many years, and you can't,
same,
you know, make a right on red or go six miles over the limit without getting speed. Like, it's just un-American. That's not right. But those are just the facial recognition in England, all that stuff. But I don't think FLOC gets there.
Okay.
I think there's enough guardrails. I think the ALPRs, I think there's so many guardrails. It's just not that much. I mean, people call it surveillance. It creates a record of license plates, which pass a static location. I'm not discounting the argument. I am discounting the socialist argument, who, by the way, are using, you know, the concept. They'll constantly reference the Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, et cetera. But their stated position is to destroy the Constitution.
Right.
So, and not just, you know, one of the 27 amendments. It's literally Article 1 through 7. They want to eliminate the Constitution, but they also want to use it to say, hey, you know, there's this Constitution, and we love it, so we want to, you know, destroy society with it. So
absolutely. No, and I agree. That's why it's interesting. And I kind of, you know, I know when Sheriff Simmons was on, I could tell that there was a part of him that was there was a little bit of irritation, which is perfectly understandable. And I love Chip dearly; he's a great friend. The irritation was, why is this the one thing that we focus on when Ring doorbells and everybody videoing everybody in public and static cameras and all the rest are already and social media tracking, all the stuff? Like, this is one piece of an enormous puzzle, the byproduct of which is, you know, or a big network of things, the byproduct of which is we have lost a lot of the freedom to move and associate and not be surveilled. Why is this the one? Well, the reason is because the socialists politically capitalize on this one, even though the other ones are comparable philosophically. I agree with all of that.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's there. I don't think it reaches the level of, you know, of facial recognition on the street, et cetera. I think that it's just not that invasive, and it's extremely helpful. So two things. Number one, I think they focus on it because they can. It's very basic. They can understand it, which, yep, a lot of police technology is very complicated, and they're not big on complicated thought processes. So one is
100% true. Yes, go on. Yeah.
And number two is it's done a great job. I mean, the crime rates across the country are low, and I'll tell you,
that's true.
ALPRs are no small contribution. I heard what Chip said about fingerprints and DNA, et cetera, but ALPRs, as a commander of detectives in Chicago trying to reduce our homicides solve or increase our homicide solve rate, which was at like 30%, once we started utilizing them, we would solve, without hyperbole, exaggerations, our solve rate probably doubled.
Wow.
It's that effective. We're in the 21st century, and it's a great 21st century tool. I just don't think it's that invasive. But I'm not discounting your argument or your feelings or anyone else that has sincerely held beliefs about it. I just think from my victim-centered point of view, from the amount of time I've thought about it, I just don't think it rises to the level of invasion that I'm alarmed about it for, you know, some future evil government, which is going to be evil whether there's SWAT cameras already installed or not. And I'm sure they'll put in worse.
You know, and I appreciate all that. That's why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because, well, we've already had it with Escambia and Santa Rosa. Might as well have it with PPD. And I know you have a slightly different view, and I know based on your training, your background. And, you know, interesting, I did not know the story about Chicago sending you over to Jerusalem, you know, to see.
It was a museum. Actually, it's in Skokie, Illinois. So, and it's a
program. Oh, okay. All right. The Skokie Museum. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But still,
yeah,
same.
I mean, love to make that trip. But we put that as a police department in place probably 15 years ago now. And I assume it's still active. But any supervisor, once you got promoted, you had to go for 8 hours. And when you hear about it, where are we going? The house?
Right.
It doesn't make sense. Once you get there and sit through it, you realize they tell you the story about policing in Germany, how it went from, you know, respectable policing to they're rounding up people. And, you know, a lot of police officers quit. A lot of police officers were, executed, et cetera. There were some who resisted and did the right thing. But in the end, the message was, you know, you're American police officers. You've got a lot of power. We hold you to a high standard. Never, never abuse it, and certainly never get in a position where you're empowering an evil government.
And by the way, there are so many things where the slippery slope argument makes people avoid doing a smart incremental step because they're afraid of the end result. And it's just like with policing. I'm thrilled to hear that, you know, making citizens be horrified at an end result we never want to get to, but that doesn't mean that you go to zero. It means that you stay maybe at 5 on 100 scale. It's like, you know, certainly spanking a kid can lead to child abuse. Well, as long as you're horrified about the idea of child abuse, you're probably going to corporal discipline in an effective way, not in a problematic way. And it's true. There's all kinds of things where the fear of the slippery slope endpoint makes you not do a smart thing that is the step one or two. And of course, the other side will always say, oh, step one is the beginning of the end. Well, only if you allow yourself to keep going down that road. Chief Eric Winstrom, really good conversation. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. I always appreciate your perspective, especially some of your varied background. And I just want to say on behalf of the city, I am embarrassed at what happened at City Council with the curfew ordinance. I thought you answered all the objections, and I really hope that City Council will come back and say, oh my God, we're so sorry. You really need this, obviously, and it's a tool that will be effective in the ways that you want to make it. So I'm hoping that turns out to be the case. Chief, thank you so much for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you.